She's the captain of the Salvation Army here in Belgium. If you don't know where the Salvation Army is, it's over for the 164th, yeah, 164th behind Crossroads Park. And it's a relatively newer facility. If you ever get a chance to go over there, just to go and take a look at it, I'm sure they'd love to show you around. It's quite a facility. And it really is, you know, and she can tell you more of what's going on there. So, Captain Jenny was born and raised on the island of Oahu in Hawaii, and she moved to Maui to be the youth worker at the Salvation Army. I'm going to try and get this right, Kahului, and was there for 6 years. She and her husband left Hawaii to attend the Salvation Army Seminary School in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. They were ordained as pastors in 2012 in the Salvation Army, and along with the two kids, they were stationed in Portland, Oregon for 3 years as assistant pastors. 1 year in San Jose as assistant pastors, and then the last 6 years they have been in charge of the Salvation Army in Clovis, California. Now they are leading the work of the Salvation Army here in Bellevue. They just got transferred this past July to the Eastside Corps at the Community Center. So basically, I'm really happy to introduce Captain Jenny Shedway. But how I know her is our Rotary Club, the Bellevue Breakfast Rotary Club, has our breakfast and meets at the Salvation Army in the morning, on Friday morning. And so I've had the pleasure of meeting her. And I am also, through that, have been on the Community Advisory Corps on the board for the Salvation Army. So it's been a real education experience for me also. So let's hear from Captain Jenny.
Thank you. All right. So thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be able to be here and even to learn a little bit about everything that you've done here. I got a short tour of the facility, and it's absolutely beautiful. And then to be able to see the handbills, that's something that I don't see in a lot of places, and I actually absolutely love handbills. We'll go through them a little bit, but we do worship arts classes with kids, and that's one of the classes that we offer and teach, and so it's kind of fun to see that you guys do that here as well. So, Salvation Army Eastside Corps, in the Salvation Army we do a lot of different things. We are a church, and so our mission, the Salvation Army exists to meet human needs everywhere, whenever and however we can. The Salvation Army, an international movement, is an evangelical part of the Universal Christian Church. Its message is based on the Bible. Its ministry is motivated by the love of God. Its mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs in His name without discrimination. That is our national statement and mission statement for the Salvation Army. And we try to meet all of those here locally in Bellevue as well. And I've been here for about 3 months, so still trying to get our bearings, but in the short 3 months that I've been here, we can see all the things, busyness, and everything that goes on at the Salvation Army here. Okay, actually, can you look at there? These are some of our divisional stats. So the Salvation Army was started by William and Catherine Booth over 150 years ago in London, England. And they liked, William Booth liked the way that the military structured. And so he structured his church after the military. That's why their pastors are called corps officers. Their deacons are called local officers and things like that. And so we're broken up into different territories and divisions is what they call it. And so our division is what we call the Northwest Division. And so it encompasses Seattle, it goes, I think, all of Washington, and even into a little bit of Montana. So it's a pretty vast division, but these are some of the stats of the shelter, food, youth programming, and eviction prevention, some of the things that just within our part of the United States, what we do or have done this last year. For the local Salvation Army, we've been in the community for 35 years. The building is only 6 years old, so it is still relatively new. We had, with the new building, they put in a gym, and so that has really been able to help us serve the community on a much wider scale. We're known most for our meal program. We feed 5 days a week. We'll see that in a little bit. After school education, summer day camp. We do overnight camps. Salvation Army has their Camp Arnold. Oh, goodness, and now I don't remember the area that that it's in, but it's about an hour south, a little bit past. No, I don't remember where they are either. Okay. Sorry about that. One of these days, when I get a little bit more acclimated to the area, I'll be able to remember all the names of the communities around. So, and then the most successful relationships that we've had this last year, at least that we've recognized since we've been here, is really the Chef's Store, which is U.S. Foods. Also, the Evangelical Christian Church, they volunteer quite a bit. And also Mercury Coffee, we pick up from them 5 days a week for the feeding program. And so we really appreciate those partnerships. And then how we meet local need is through our after-school programs, meal programs, and day camps. So our after-school program, we currently have about 20 kids registered, and all of them are on scholarship. So the schools do offer after-school program, but they usually charge. And so the kids that we usually get in our after-school program are those that usually can't afford regular after-school care, and then, so we do have a fee, but we also offer scholarships, and we fundraise for that through different venues and different areas to be able to support the kids and help them to be able to be in a part of an after-school program. Something that we are starting, me and my husband, we love youth. We're very active in youth programming. That's kind of one of our fortes. And so in coming here and being able to work with the after-school program, one of the things that we're going to be starting and incorporating is they finish school early on Wednesdays. We want to start taking them on trips just to, you know, different museums or, you know, educational centers, but also, for them to be able to have fun as well. They have, like, a trampoline park, I think I saw somewhere, and take them to the zoo and things like that just so they can get a little bit more experience. Oh, another fun one we're thinking is and Crossroads in the mall, they have like a pottery place, and so, you know, they can sit down and paint and just be a little bit creative, things that these kids actually wouldn't have an opportunity to do any other time or any other way because of the low income status of their families. Some of the fundraising, these are our top five fundraising priorities. Right now we're looking to get a walk-in fridge and freezer because that's just something we need for our meal program. It's really expanded with our takeouts that we started during COVID. Prior to COVID, they would do about 70 meals a night, and then with COVID and the takeout, it jumped up to 200. So we do get quite a bit of donations, but to be able to store those donations properly and be able to use them for the meal program requires much more capacity than we currently have. And so that's why in the 3 months we've gotten here, we put that on the top because we realized that's one of the things we really need. And then we do have our Red Kettle kickoff luncheon. Our goal is 55,000, I believe, is what we had set this year, so we're excited. We also have a breakfast fundraiser we do in the spring. Scholarships, that's about how much we raise in scholarships for the kids that attend both the after school as well as the summer day camp, because we do, the previous slide said, we do an 8-week summer day camp where the kids come in from 8:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the afternoon, and we just have them all day long. And so for staffing and everything else to be able to provide for the kids, and we do outings for that as well, that's about how much we do in scholarships. And then our back-to-school shopping spree, oh, that would be a fun one if you guys wanted to participate in that next year. We partner with Old Navy. We get gift cards, and we get about $15,000. We try and get scholarship. We try and fundraise that, and we get to go shopping with the kids. It's so much fun to be able to do that. You take a kid into the Old Navy store and to be able to shop with them, and they get to pick out their own clothes, and a lot of these kids again, just because of their circumstances, their family circumstances. They don't get new clothes. They don't get the experience of shopping. So to see their eyes light up, to see, you know, when they see brand new clothes that they actually get to take, it's very new, and it's very special for them. And so being able to be a part of that is always fun. So our social service office, we do, as we get funding, we apply for various grants and everything else. And so through PSC, we do assistance. And that's Puget Sound Electric, is that right? Yep, okay, good. Woo, learning all kinds of things. Rental assistance. We also do Baby Corner. That's another nonprofit that we partner with to be able to provide services for those that that need that. And then we do hygiene kits, and then seasonal assistance. We do Angel Tree. That's gifts for the kids, adopt a family. So that's like the special cases where maybe they lost their home due to a fire, or one of the parents had contracted, like, or they realize they have cancer this last year, and so work and medical bills and things like that are extra hard. Those are the special cases. And so with the adopt a family, we don't just adopt just the kids, gifts for the kids, we adopt the whole family, the parents and everybody. They all get something for Christmas, just because it was just a little bit harder of a year for them. And then again, we do our back to school. Besides the shopping, we also do school supplies and things like that as well. So we, in our social service office, they're just kept very busy. And we also actually do food boxes as well, to-go meals that we prepare. So we currently partner with the city of Redmond, and we provide, currently, right now, it's only about 12 meals, and we drop them off, I believe, at the library, but it's in partnership with the courthouse. And so just some of the people that go there, or those that have to come in for their court, and if they're struggling and stuff, we are able to support them that way as well. And then with our feeding program, we're open Monday to Friday from 5:30 p.m. is when we start our dine-in. So we are currently doing a hybrid service, and we just started that last week, Monday, October 3rd. And so we went back after, as post-COVID, we went back into in-person feeding. So we started the in-person feeding at 5:30, and then we open up our doors for the to-go meals at 6 p.m. So we're able to meet the need of those that just need to sit around a table and to be able to fellowship. A lot of our homeless clients will take that opportunity. They don't necessarily get to be able once sit at a table to eat a meal, but also just to be able to have a conversation with somebody is such an important social need that isn't necessarily met for those clients. And then to-goes are usually for the people that, you know, they have a home, they have a family, they're just struggling, and so they come and pick up a meal and then they take it home with them. And that's usually the to-goes. And then, so our facility, we currently is occupied through rentals about 7 days a week. We have catch ball, we have gymnastics, and then we have our church programming, and Rotary also meets there as well. So we have that, and then that's usually the gym and the chapel site, and then on the dining room areas where we do the meal program. So not too much of a clashing, but every now and then we have to mix things up. But we have a lot of fun, and, you know, things are busy, and we have a facility director that runs it very smooth, so we're very grateful for him. Street level. So we don't necessarily do street level. That's street level is mainly helping, like, specific homeless clients and homeless people. So that is not necessarily something that we do directly at our location, but as a Salvation Army as a whole, in the Northwest Division, they have something called street level. And they do have it in the East Side. It's new, probably within the last month. They just came to the East Side, and so they're trying to be able to, what their main thing is, they meet the clients where they are. They try and find, you know, those encampments and things like that where people are, and they go out. If they need an ID, they can get them an ID on the spot. And their main thing is to be able to try and get these the clients into housing, permanent housing. And so oftentimes there's a little bit of a challenge when we talk about some of our homeless clients. There's a statistic, but some of them choose to be homeless. And so to get them into the mindset of then being in housing can prove to be difficult. But in a constant communication, when they're meeting with them on a regular basis, they're able to kind of change the mindset and to be able to help the clients. And they, I think, in their first year, their goal, I think, was... I think it was pretty reasonable. It was like 20, they wanted to house 20 people or 20 clients. And in their first year, I believe Tina was telling us, they did well over 100. And so they're, I mean, it's just a phenomenal ministry and program that has done very, very well. And so we refer a lot of the people that come to our facility that are homeless, we refer them over to the street level, and they're able to help them. And so we're just very grateful that the Salvation Army in this division has been able to reach out to people in that way. So our youth programming. So we do lots of different things in our youth programming. So the day camp and after school programs, those are open to the community, and we absolutely love everything with those programs. We also do character building classes. It's like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but it's a Salvation Army program, and it's all Christian-based. So with each emblem that they earn, there's also a Bible lesson that goes along with it. And so I grew up going and participating in the program as well with my sash and all the emblems I earned. And so I got to learn things like auto know-how, needle knack, so sewing, bicycling, just a wide variety. Camping, we had to do outdoor, we had to do a three-day hike. So lots of different things with that program, but it's absolutely fantastic, and it's a wonderful opportunity. We don't charge for ours, so again, oftentimes we'll get the children that maybe their parents can't afford for them to go to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and so they'll be able to come to our troop programming. And it's absolutely wonderful. Our music arts classes, that's where we get to teach the kids handbells. My husband, being from Hawaii, he teaches usually ukulele. If I teach a dance, it'll be usually the hula. I'm not so good with hip-hop, so it's usually hula. But we do lots of different things. And for those that aren't interested in music, we also usually offer an art class as well, where they can do painting. They do lots of things with toilet paper rolls and just a lot of different things. We try and meet all of the different areas that different personalities like to do. We want to try and touch on everything so we can try and meet a variety of needs for the children that come to us. And then also we do a leadership training. That actually is only for the children, the teens that come to the church, because the idea is that we want to raise up the next generation of church leaders. And so we do a teen leadership training as well. And then we also, I love competition. So we do Bible Bowl. And so my son is very active. He has very good memory. And so he is definitely in our Bible Bowl team. And so actually even in our music classes, we do participate in competitions. Salvation Army has their own competitions. We compete divisionally. And then the winners will get to compete on a territorial level. So our territory is the western half of the United States, including Guam, Chukwupe, Marshall Islands, and Hawaii. So we all get to, for the winners of the divisions, get to come together and meet on a territorial level and compete. And so our Bible Bowl team actually this last year took first place territorially. And so they represented us well in our community, and we're very proud of them. And several of our participants in the music program. We have a percussionist. She also came in first. We had a pianist. And so this year we're going to be adding our children's choir. And then we have a drama team that will be competing. That's also part of our worship arts classes. We do drama. Just such a wide variety of different things. And then we also have our summer day camp, which is over at Camp Ryle. And then some volunteer opportunities that we continually have is meal providers. So for our meal program, we actually don't have a cook on site. We have a meal coordinator, and they coordinate all the different meal providers, so different churches, different groups. We have a school with the parents and kids. They'll come in, and they provide a meal once a month. And so we have some groups, the evangelical Chinese church, they come in once a week, and they do a feeding. And so we wouldn't be able to run our meal program without our meal providers. And then the other is our meal program volunteers. They do the front end of the house type of stuff with the serving of the meals and cleanup and things like that. Also, we do, you probably know Salvation Army for their red kettles outside the store with the bell ringing. Grew up doing that as well. And so that's always, when we get to the Christmas season, that's always something that we always need a lot of volunteers for. And then after school programs, we usually get a lot of high schoolers that come in and volunteer with to get their volunteer hours in, and then also to be able to help the younger kids. So we have a lot of fun with that. And so that's our contact information. I'm Captain Jenny Onitsuka Adams, and if you guys have any questions, that would be a good time.
So you're talking about the red kettle. So tell us what the I know sometimes Salvation Army has a focus every year, so it might be different last year from this year. So what's the focus going to be this coming year for the red kettle?
So our focus for this upcoming year is really it's going to be our meal program. We just, in serving, you know, about 200 meals a night, it can get pretty costly. We do get quite a bit of donations, but we don't always get what we need to be able to make a complete meal. And so we often have to go and purchase food. So that, so food security is really where we're going to be putting the funding of our kettles this year.
I will just tell you, by the way, Jan and I, we were both involved with the back-to-school program. I'd say if next fall, think about it, get in contact with me, and I'll make an announcement on it. It is the most fun thing you'll ever do. I mean, we were attached with Jan and I, but they wouldn't let me do it by myself, of course, so Jan went with me. And we had this one beautiful young girl who was, you know, very shy to start with, and so we... went through the store. I mean, like with everybody else, we just a zoo in there. But you know, to watch her pick out things and just the smile on her face on how she was going to look going to school, it looked like the other kids, and that's the important part. It was just really one of the best mornings Jan and I have had in a long time. Not that all of our mornings, they're all good, but this was special. So, any questions you have?
Good morning, Jenny. Hi. I was wondering. What portion of the monetary funds come during the holiday season with the kettles, and if your kettle donations have been negatively affected by some of the stores not allowing bell ringing?
That's a great question. So we, as a Salvation Army nationally, we had anticipated kind of this wave of just society and how things are changing and more online shopping and no cash, people don't carry cash as much as well anymore either. So all of these different things the Salvation Army has looked at many years ago, and they've been thinking, you know, what do we need to do? And so we actually went to an online virtual kettle as well. And so between the virtual kettles and then the kettles at the store, we've been able to, God is just so good, let me just say. He's really just kept us on track and has maintained us through the years. And so where certain years we do see kind of, you know, dips and there's an ebb and flow to everything, especially when the economy, you know what I mean, we kind of see it with that as well. But it's actually, God has been good to us, and we've been able to stay pretty steady considering all the changes that we've been going through.
I have a question, actually. We get calls periodically at the church from people needing help with food, gas, rent, utilities, etc. I usually give them your number. Is that correct? Do you have drop-in emergency help for people who are in immediate need of services?
Yeah, absolutely. So if they're specifically homeless needing assistances, we refer them over to our street level ministry because that's their specialty and they can help with a lot of different different needs. But for our social services, we do those kinds, especially with the rent assistance. We apply for the grants from different communities because our Eastside core, we also work with, we do Redmond, we do Issaquah. I'm trying to remember all of the areas that we do, but it's more than just Bellevue that we do. So we also work with those. We try and get grants from each of those communities to be able to help with rental assistance and the PSC and all of those things for the various communities, because we have to make sure that the way Salvation Army works is we tell our donors that their donations stay local, and to be true to that, we really want to make sure that that the area that the donations come in, that's the area that we're serving the people. And so, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, we have a whole finance department and then our social service department. Everybody has to work together to make sure that everything is done correctly, but that's what we try to do. So absolutely, please keep referring them over to us, and we'll just keep helping them the best we can.
Any questions, Maureen? Well, I have. Okay.
Hi, I'm Maria Harwell. I'm so glad that you mentioned the street level. I've seen everything. Overall, thank you so much for the presentation. I've become really engaged in the needs. Been kind of working on the ground with people who are homeless, people with needs, basically ever since 2020, because I had more time. You know, it's one of those things. Just 2 weeks ago, St. Andrews actually had Compass Housing Alliance. Sam Townsend came over for a really great presentation, and he was kind of talking about the causes of homelessness. And I wanted to just kind of offer up a different perspective on that. You mentioned how there's a percentage of homeless people who choose to be homeless. Sam Townsend actually kind of brought up a different way of looking at it. Basically, there are people that choose to be homeless, and that choice is motivated by things like they aren't able to find the housing that fits their needs. Like, they might have a pet that is their one, like, that pet is everything to them. Or maybe, you know, they are a survivor of domestic abuse or something, and a open shelter is not a safe place for them, and so that's why they, you know, quote unquote, refuse the service. So I really hope that Salvation Army remembers to keep that holistic approach when you're approaching people who, quote unquote, choose to be homeless.
Absolutely, and that's why we refer them over to street level because they have all of the background knowledge and everything else. They're able to meet that kind of a need. It's just really difficult in the Salvation Army to be able to do every area of the ministry, and so to have the different programs and different specialties to be able to refer people over to where they have where they specialize in those different things is really helpful, because it would be very hard for one person to be able to do it all, for sure. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I thought of another question for you. With the new King County Regional Homelessness Authority, I forget the acronym, is there any coordination between these fantastic groups like Salvation Army, HopeLink, and others to see, who can meet the best needs where or something like that? Is there any overarching kind of coordination?
Yep. No worries. Absolutely. So with the street level moving to the east side, with that being new, we actually met with the city, and then we met with the city of Bellevue on a different occasion. But we do. So with their homeless alliance. We are working on a partnership and connecting our street level with them, so then that way we can make sure that we can reach the most people that we can, for sure.
Real quick, I know that this is not on the east side yet, but one thing that really intrigued me, you want to talk about the van, the van that you have for street level, for what they do for the people?
Yeah. Sure. So the program itself is not new. It started here in the Northwest Division, and then it has moved to other areas. We saw it in Fresno for about a year before we had left. And so my understanding of the program is that what they do is they take a van and they go out to where they know the homeless encampments are, or if they get a phone call or if somebody has a need. Oftentimes it's hard for people that are experiencing homelessness to be able to get somewhere, and so they'll go and they'll meet them where they are. So with the van, they'll go out, and then they have, through their various connections and avenues with different other agencies in the area, they're able to, again, get them things like right away, get them things like IDs and all of that. It's just a very unique program, and it was such, when the idea of it came up, it was just so well received that they now spread to other areas within our Western territory, in the western half of the United States, and they're trying to apply it in those other areas as well. But it started here in the Northwest, and this is where it thrives the most. And so being able to see it on this kind of scale is actually, it's very impressive to see.
I have a question about the housing. If Salvation Army has your own apartments that you own that you use, or can put people in, and do you require them to be clean and sober for apartments?
Fantastic questions. Okay, great. Yes. So we do. The Salvation Army does, not on the east side, not in Bellevue, but we do in, I'm trying to remember all of these names now. So Seattle Social Services, they have their own shelters, and they have their own housing as well. There is, I'm trying to think, the White Center, so that would be close to, I think, the Buren area. They have one, and I think there's another one in, oh goodness, it's not Tukwila, it's, I think it begins with, has a W in it. But anyways, yes, so we do. Salvation Army does have housing, not in our area necessarily, but in other areas. They do have housing. Their requirements, I'm not 100% sure. I would think that they would be required to be clean and sober, partially because we do also have a rehabilitation program in over in Seattle. And so a lot of beneficiaries that go through the program, when they graduate, then they get filtered to the other housing as they start working and getting reacclimated into society.
This is a hearing problem on my part, but I thought when he asked about the band, he was asking about the band, and I went, I haven't seen the Salvation Army band in a long time, so what's the start?
Yes, so I play brass, and I grew up in the Salvation Army, born and raised, and so I play a brass instrument, so does my children. So we don't really have a band right now at our specific location, but on a divisional level, we do, and I play in the divisional band as well. And so you'll see us out and about. Oh, I should have put it in there. You'll see us out and about this Christmas season at various areas and events. But we do actually have a concert, and I don't know why I didn't think of it. We do have a concert coming up at our facility, so if you want to check out our facility and hear the band, it is going to be on Saturday, November 5th at 4 p.m. I'll get you the flyer for it. And then, and so we would love to have you see our facility and then to come in here, the band, our choir, and a couple of our young people that won at the territorial music competition. They're going to be playing as well, so you'll get to see all of that.
So I've got one last question. I want to throw you a little curveball here because this is not local, but with the war in Ukraine going on, can you tell us what Salvation Army is doing in Ukraine?
Yes, that is a good one. Sorry, my my current events. They do send us things regularly on what is happening, so I'm just checking my emails. So I know that the Salvation Army, we have quite a bit of, we do have Salvation Army corps and locations all around the world. We're in over 132 countries. And so with the war going on, there's oftentimes, because we have a Salvation Army there and they don't need our services, because that area usually and the surrounding areas take care of them. The newest I got was all the way back in June, so nothing really updated, so just back in June, some of the things that they have done. Let me see here. So back in June, it says Salvation Army is responding to the Ukraine-Russia conflict. Is varying degrees in 29 countries. Okay, so 29 countries are being able to do stuff with that. They're meeting the life-saving needs of internally displaced people in Ukraine and refugees who have decided to stay in host countries. And as well as those in host countries temporarily before moving on to other European countries. So it's really, the support is staying within that area. But the Salvation Army is active and doing things as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so time to go to church. So I'd like to thank again, Captain Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you.